Today we're supposed to do the third of the seven diamond-like visions. What would that involve? So, yeah, Gana. Meaning Sangha, okay? Meaning the jewel, Sangha jewel, okay? Sangha jewel. And as you know, that mostly involves people who have seen emptiness directly, okay? And in this particular presentation, the state of mind, certain qualities of the mind of a person who has seen emptiness directly are considered the Sangha jewel. And then maybe all the people who have seen emptiness are considered the nominal Sangha jewel. So the real Sangha jewel is their state of mind and their attainments. And then the nominal Sangha jewel is the people who have seen emptiness directly. And then we had another presentation from the Abhisamankara in the second course, I think it is, that said the real Sangha was people who have seen emptiness directly, and the nominal Sangha is people who wear robes. Okay, I think, so now you're seeing a deeper presentation. We're just going deeper and deeper. That's the idea of an in-depth course, right? And I started out making the reading like 24 hours ago, and I went through it and I said, you know, there's eight qualities that they have, in, very similar to the Buddha jewel and the Dharma jewel that we went through. And the eight qualities weren't explained very well anywhere, and even Gyaltsen Jay doesn't explain them much. So I kind of got tired of trying to squeeze a reading out of that. And there's another famous, really famous quotation that we did all the time in the monastery about the jewel of the Sangha from Uttara Tantra, from this text. It comes pretty much further down in the first chapter. So, but it is talking about the Sangha jewel. And to me, it's one of the most exciting quotations in the whole Uttara Tantra. And there's a big reading you could design around that, because everybody since then has debated this quotation. Everybody. Like, so we'll get from 350 AD up to about 1700s or 1800s, we'll get a whole string of debates. So I thought what you might find fun was what I mentioned previously, this, that sometimes it's really useful to just follow the debates back into history, you know? In the monasteries, the monastic textbooks. So, like the big three monasteries, it's called Densasum. Say Densasum.
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 Densa means like, it's asana, meaning seat of higher learning. Sum means the three biggies, and that's Sara, Ganden, and Dribun. And their textbook writers in the last 500 years have struggled with this quotation that I'm going to write for you from the Uttara Tantra. And I thought it would just be fun to see how they struggled through the centuries. So I think I have about 10 different textbook writers in the reading. And, you know, all the great ones from all the great monasteries. And then I thought I'd write the whole quotation up here first, because it's so famous. And I urge you to memorize it, okay? It's on your homework, it's on your quiz. Okay? Let's see here. It disappeared. Hey, yeah. And what's kind of interesting to me is I memorized it a certain way in the debate ground, and then when I was searching for it in the database, I couldn't find it in Saramade textbooks, you know. And then I started to look for pieces of it, and then I realized that over the centuries the quotation has evolved, you know. And this, you know, from like even Holy Lama Ken Rinpoche, or you know, he'll be in a class, he'll have a quotation that in the back of his mind that he didn't debate for 47 years, you know? And then he'll look through like 14 scriptures and he'll say, oh, forget it, it's something like this, you know? And then somebody writes that down in his book, and then other people copy it out of Ken Rinpoche's book, and then it becomes mushed around. So you'll see it in the reading. This quotation has been inverted in different ways, you know? Which makes me want to say that you guys have to be careful. Okay, as you record these teachings, like John Stillwell wrote me an email. He said, that's cool that you guys are doing in-depth sutra courses in Arizona. Who's gonna, what do you call it? How do you say it? Archive them. Yeah, who's gonna archive them? You know, I mean, let's get that straight, you know, because we still have 1,000 tapes in Godstow that we haven't archived yet, you know. And so he was very concerned that who's going to be doing the archiving, you know, and who's going to be sending out those courses, and who's going to make sure that the content is still, is not, the quotations aren't all messed up in 300 years. You see what I mean? So you'll see in the readings how the quotation evolved over the 300 years, you know. And it's very, over 1600 years. Anyway, here it is. And there's a beautiful Sanskrit equivalent, and you'll have it in your next Sanskrit class, which is early August, I guess. Okay, and it's really beautiful. If you get a chance, you should do the Sanskrit of this verse especially. Ready? Not quite, but anyway. Pakpe? Chidan. Nawadan. Gawe? Dunya. Sene? Pan. Pakpe means Winston, huh? Yeah, Aryas, but Pakpe? By Aryas. By Aryas. Okay, Aryas. Ayur in Sanskrit. Aryayur. Chiwa? Number four in the prison yesterday. Yeah, you might notice some other ones here. And Nawa. Keganachi, we had it yesterday. Nawa. Sickness, okay, sickness. You've had ne in the last homework, ne, which means sickness also. So you put a da on it, it means sickness also, okay? Death, sickness, and dung. Gawa, old age. Aging. Okay, there's this big debate in the monastery. If you say old age, you get in trouble. Oh, so babies don't have gawa dunya? So babies don't have the suffering of aging? And then you get this big thing. Gawa dunya, suffering. Sene means tsawane. It's the same thing, tsawane. From the root. Sene means from the root. Pang means they have eliminated it. Eliminated, got rid of it. Why didn't he say tsawane, Christy? Yeah, he'd blow his rhyme, he'd blow his meter. He'd have an extra beat in there, okay? Hear it. Pape chidan nawadang. Gawe dunya tsawane pang. It would ruin the meter, you know? So he threw in se, which is pretty rare, but it means the same thing. It's mulad, from the root, okay? Mulam. Anyway, so what this is saying is that anybody who has seen emptiness directly, anybody who has seen emptiness directly has eliminated death, the sufferings of death, illness, and old age. Okay? Has eliminated. So here we go. Yeah. Changsen Tonglamba Chöjen, Tonglamba Chö Melamba Chöjen. Let's Elila, okay? Take a person who just achieved the first part of the path of seeing. They're in the direct perception of emptiness, called the uninterrupted level, right? The uninterrupted path. Chiwa dan nawa dan gawa. Death, sickness, and old age. Sene bawa ta. So they've gotten rid of it, right? Yes. So, chiwa mata. So they're not going to die, right? So, tene mabamata. So they haven't eliminated it from its root. They've just eliminated chegane bambeche. They're just, some cases they've eliminated it.
Pour the poison on the root, then
at least
take a while to die.
Oh, so chiwa mabamata. So they haven't eliminated death. Then they're still going to die. So, chiwa tawane bangang. Even though, this is Geshe Tadurinja, right? Chiwa tawane bangang. So even though they've eliminated death from its root, they haven't eliminated death, right?
Not immediately, but eventually.
I mean, blah, blah, blah. Kabamachun, Kabamachun, huh?
They have.
Yeah, duh. I don't know, we'll see. Okay? It's a very big debate, it's a huge debate, okay? Okay, anyway, we'll go on. Those are the four sufferings, right? We had them in the prison yesterday. Keganachi. Say keganachi.
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 You know, people pick on me for many things, but one of the smaller things they pick on me is why do you keep bringing out this death thing, you know? I mean, Buddhism is just to learn to be relaxed. Buddhism is learn to meditate. Buddhism is learn to watch your breath, you know? Buddhism is learn to be friendly, you know? Buddhism is blah, blah, blah. And I keep saying, no, no, the whole thing is about dying. The whole thing is about changing your body into an angel's body, you know? The whole thing is that. And here's another verse to support me. Now, it's just an accident that it came up. But, you know, that's what Buddhism's all about. I just can't stand all the other ones. I mean, in certain places, on certain occasions, to certain groups, maybe you would talk about getting calm. But I was sitting in the prison yesterday, and there's 30, like, hardcore cons. We're in the high secure, max security one. And they're staring at me, and I got to say something funny fast and interesting, you know. And I know they're uptight all the time, and I know they want to hear about meditation. But I just went straight to death, you know. I just can't do anything else. I think deep down inside, everyone's interested in that, actually. You know, being calm, you'll get calm if you take care of your death, right? I think so. So, and they responded to that. I think they really responded to that, because they knew you're just cutting through the BS, you know? You go straight to what matters, okay? So, Kegan Nachi, birth, rebirth, aging, illness, and death. But there's a problem here so far. What's that? Something missing. Kye was missing. He didn't mention rebirth. Okay. But that's only half the verse, so give him a chance. Oh, I'm going to do this thing too. I think everybody in the country should send a bill to Bill Gates for the time they waste on trying to get Windows to work. And then all the money could be redistributed from where it came from originally. But anyway. Le Dan Yomo Wankike. Say Le Dan
Yomo
Wankike. Tela Teme Cheer Deme. Okay. Lay down yomong, two big problems in life. What are they?
Karma
and mental afflictions. Karma and bad emotions, bad thoughts, okay? Lay down yomong. Wangi means by the power of karma and mental afflictions. Ge. That's how people get born. That's why people are reborn, okay? Yeah, wangi means through the power of karma and mental afflictions, people are born. By the way, I'm going to read you the whole verse in English because it's on your homework. I mean, yeah. So I'll give you the translation in a minute, okay? De la, de me, don't have it, and so they don't have it. Okay? They don't have it, and so they don't have it. De la, de me, cheer, de me. Okay? Meaning what? Who wants to take a shot? They don't have it, so they don't have it. Who's they? Yeah, ayahs don't have karma and mental afflictions, so they don't have ke, birth. Okay, so they don't have birth. Papa like your meata. Let me give you the translation first, okay? Because this is going to take us on to another subject. You know, this is just a translation thing. I like to avoid the word Arya in most translations because of the connotations with Hitler and all that. So, and the new Aryan things and all that. Although it has nothing to do with Arya, right? But so I call them realized beings as opposed to enlightened beings. They've realized emptiness, but they're not enlightened yet. Okay. So it says, realized beings have eliminated death. That's the first line. The second line reads, and sickness and aging from the root. Birth comes by the power of deeds. Next line, and mental afflictions, dash. Last line, they have none and so have none. Back to our debate. Papa like your mouth. So I guess Aryas, people who see emptiness directly don't have birth, right? Because the great, kind, benevolent lamas of our lineage have constantly repeated the fact that they don't have it because they don't have them. How could anybody contradict holy scripture, wonderful, magnificent holy scripture like you do? That's how Sarah May says that. That's how Sarah May says that when you contradict a scripture. And then every different densa, each different major monastery has their own way. So Ganden will go, you know. So when we debate them, we go, oh, you know, and then they go, oh, pig, chocolate, and you know. Huh? Say some major. My trainer said that. It just said, not what it says. Well, show me what it says something else. It says they don't have it because they don't have them.
Yes, it's the suffering of
them. Oh, birth and the suffering birth are different. So you can have to take a rebirth and not suffer. So Papa La Duk Den Meata. So Aryas don't have the truth of suffering. Aryas aren't the truth of suffering. Huh? So they don't have the truth of suffering. So they don't have impurities that are related to karma and kleshas. So they have the truth of suffering. They are the truth of suffering. They still are the truth of suffering. Can you be the truth of suffering and not be samsara? Are Aryas in samsara? So they're in samsara, but they're not suffering? By the way, I'm not just picking on you. This is the whole crux of the whole 1,000 years of debate. And it's just exactly what just came up. You know, it's like, are they suffering or aren't they? Are they the truth of suffering or not? Much less, do they have the truth of suffering? Do they take rebirth or not? What makes them take rebirth? Okay? And now I'll tell you a verse, the next verse from Maitreya. It says, Jishin Yanda Tongwei Chir, because they have seen the way things are so well. Okay? Meaning emptiness, right? Kieso Namlein Degyur Kyang, they are beyond birth and all those other problems. But gyan, okay. Ning je dagni kewa dang, chidang ga dang nawartun. But still they pretend, or they just show. In Tibetan it's dun, right? They just pretend because they are the embodiment of compassion. To take birth, to die, to get old, and to get sick. Sound good? So bodhisattvas only take birth out of, we call it Ningjie Dan Munlam. Okay, you should know that. Ningjie Dan Munlam. Ningjie, there's a new Munlam here, right? So it's very famous. Just out of compassion, Karuna, and Munlam. Their prayers, you know, may I take birth in some crappy place to take care of people there, you know. Only because of those do Aryas take rebirth. Right, Michael?
Yes.
So they don't have mental, so they don't take rebirth through mental afflictions, right?
Bodhisattvas, no.
Bodhisattva Aryas.
They wouldn't take rebirth through mental afflictions.
So everybody who ever achieves the first bodhisattva level achieves the eighth one automatically.
No.
Because it's the eighth one where you lose your last mental affliction. So somewhere between one and eight, you still got to work, you know? Like usually, how many lifetimes?
Seven.
Typically seven.
As many as 16, depending on your
practice. I don't know about that, but anyway. That's a different book. Okay. That's about people who keep their tantric vows or not. That's another subject. Okay. That's a very beautiful thing about 16 lives, if you keep your vows, okay? But I want to introduce you to the idea of... And the reading's really nice, and I'll try to work on it on the planes and stuff and email it after my vacation to Ellie Ma or somebody. Say, Sipa?
Sipa.
Len?
Len.
Dumbawa.
Dumbawa.
Sipa?
Sipa.
Len?
Len.
Dumbawa.
Dumbawa.
You know, I've often mentioned a Sipa Len Dumbawa, like in the Diamond Cutter class. A person who has seen emptiness typically might, they might very typically perceive directly that they have seven lifetimes to go to achieve enlightenment. Seven lifetimes as a human in the desire realm, okay? So this is one kind of stream enterer. And I thought, I mean, you can experience these things yourself directly. It's like we were trying to do a lot of channel practices during the three-year retreat. And what we found out is that you can get 3 years of channel practices in half an hour from somebody. You see what I mean? Because the story is all sitting and working on it. I mean, describing it to you can take a week or something. You know, you can go study it with some lama for about a week, and you can get the entire transmission of Jetson Kapa's presentations on the channels and chakras or something like that. But then to really do it takes like 3 years of just daily, all-day practice, basically. Sipa Len Dumbawa is almost the same idea. You know, I've often mentioned it to you in terms of a direct experience of emptiness. Like if you see emptiness directly, you will, in the following hours after that, directly perceive that you will become enlightened within seven lifetimes. Okay? At least. At most. Sorry. Okay? But I thought you might like to see the scriptural backup for that if anybody ever asks you. You know? Like it's also helpful to have, you know, books you can pull out and say, well, this is where it talks about that, about the seven lifetimes thing. So it's possible you could even have it, the experience yourself, and then go back later to the books and find it. And then, you know, write a reading about it for somebody like that. You know what I mean? So I thought it's very helpful to have it in writing. You know, you say, how did you learn about the seven lifetime thing? And you say, well, I heard it in a class from somebody, you know. They say, well, where's the proof for that in the scripture? You know, and then it's useful, I think, to be able to go to scriptures and say. So I'm going to do the scriptural presentation as opposed to the diamond cutter type of presentation, okay? And that in itself is a little interesting how it's evolved over the years and maybe got a little confused then since the time that it was first spoken about. It's found in Abhidharma literature, in the Abhidharma Kosha and other texts, and it's used in the description of Gyunshupas, which is what? Stream enterers, meaning people who have just seen emptiness directly. Okay, and there are many kinds of stream enterers. Someday we can go through that chapter in the Abhidharma Kosha. But this one is called a Sipa Len Dumbawa. Sipa means like Sipe Korlo Sipa, which is, do you know Sipe Korlo? Yeah, Wheel of Life. This means lives, lives. Sipa, in this case, means lives, lives to take. Still that many lives to take. Len without the dengbu, okay, be careful. Means times, how many times. And then din means seven. And then the pawa makes it an ER. I like to call him a seven timer. Okay, seven timer. And it's pretty exciting. I mean, if you go reading scriptures that say, it's 49 billion years until Maitreya gets here, which is what liberation in the palm of your hand says. But then you know that it's possible to see emptiness directly yourself. And then within seven lifetimes of average lifetime now is like 70 years. So that's 500 years. Like Maitreya could happen in 500 years. Or less if you practice Tantra, and we're going to see that. We're going to see some things from Jetson Kapa. But the Sipa Len Dumbawa thing for me is very exciting because it means you will be the next Maitreya if you just work hard on the courses and then your meditation and then your Dzogchen practices and your retreats. You know? I put in the reading the technical definition of a seven lifetimer, and it just basically says they will take seven more lifetimes in the desire realm, in the same type, meaning they will continue to be humans of high, they have good intellect, they have good Tunkens, lots of people taking care of them. Like, they have enough money, they have enough food, everything is easy for them. And they continually meet great teachers, even from the time they're very young. Rikchenge, Pangja Rimgipa. Pangja Rimgipa means a stream mentor who abandons all their negativities in a gradual way. Gyunshuk means a stream mentor. Gyunshuk Sipa Lendao Lendum Bawe Tseni is the definition of a seven timer. Okay, it's not very complicated. Basically, they're just going to come back seven more times, or less if they practice tantra. Which means, I'm gonna read you now. I'm just gonna start the debate text. Okay, I'm just gonna go through some debates with you. And I haven't translated them yet, so we'll just go as we go. And so you just listen. You won't have a reading, so you just have to listen to the debates carefully, okay? And then probably later you have to compare notes with each other. You can get the reading, I think, in about 3 weeks maybe, okay? It's finished in Tibetan, but it's not finished in English. And we'll just go the usual way. And just listen. This is from... I put the best monastic textbook first, so it's from... Sarame, Kedub Dembadage, I think 1493, 1568, but I have it in the reading, so don't worry about it. Duden la pumbo rapa yinbe ma kyap de. Someone can be the truth of suffering and not possess the demon of the heaps. Okay? The demon of heaps. There are four demons in Buddhism that you destroy as you become enlightened. The demon of the heaps means the body and mind that you were forced to take on when you came into this life. Dirty, mortal, troublesome body and mind. Okay. Then there's the demon of the mental afflictions, which doesn't need any explanation for anyone who's done any lay rooms or anything, or who keeps a book. Then there's the demon of death, death itself. And then there's a demon called the child of the deity named Garab Wangchuk. And that just means, it's a fancy way of saying that in the old days, when you were getting close to getting enlightened, somebody would show up and try to take you off track. You know, like just before the end, or as you get more advanced, you'll bump into some new friend who, and that's some kind of a demon influence, who'll try to convince you that what you're doing is not very meaningful, or they'll try to get you sidetracked. And that's just a common thing when you're getting towards the end. They'll try to put doubts in your mind. The more powerful, the more beautiful, the more fantastic things are happening, the more the Tai Wang Badu gets into action and tries to plant doubts, plant problems, get people distracted from the real issues like that, okay? Like if you spent 1,000 days in a yurt during retreat, and then, it's, you know, and you'd have the big rejoicing afterwards, but then you get distracted by some other thing. Then that would be like Tai Wong would do, you know. Okay. Dukden la pumbu du rapa yinbe ma kyapte. So he says, you can have the truth of suffering. You can be the truth of suffering and not possess the demon of the heaps. You can be the truth of suffering and not possess the demon of the heaps. Okay? Can you be a person and be the truth of suffering? Okay. What? Truth of suffering, fact, yimata. You tell me truth of suffering is a fact?
Yeah.
I think I got up here last class and said what? It's a fact in the sense of the things which are that thing. It's not a truth as like a statement or a... You see what I mean? It's the reality of those things. So can a person be the truth of suffering? Yeah. All sentients, all suffering sentient beings are the truth of suffering. It's not like they have the truth of suffering or they believe in the truth of suffering or they haven't recognized the truth of suffering. They are the truth of suffering, okay? But can you be the truth of suffering and not have the demon of the heaps? And he says, Gyunshuk Sipalen Dubawa, which means what? Junshu? Stream enterer who's got seven lives to go. Okay. Dukden Yin Kyang. What? Yin. They are the truth of suffering. But, Kyang means but, okay. Pumbudu Mayin. Pumbudu Mayin. They are not the demon of the heaps. Chitte. Genden Konjo Yinbe Echer. Genden Konjo Yinbe Echer. What? They are the Sangha Jewel. They are the Sangha Jewel. So what the monastic textbooks do, they are pedagogical. They are debate. They are dialectic. You know? They don't sit there and tell you, now look, there's like three kinds of stream enterers, and in the third one, he has the truth of suffering. He is the truth of suffering, but he doesn't have the demon of the heaps because he's the Sangha Jewel. They just present an argument between two people, and then they go on. And then you have to suck out, you have to withdraw the information from it. So now you learn something, which is what? You learned a bunch of stuff. You learned something about Sipa Lendumbawas. You learned that these seven-time guys are what? They are the truth of suffering. They don't possess the demon of the heaps. Because they are Sangha Jewel. So then you can derive this thing that anybody who gets to be Sangha Jewel doesn't have the demon of the heaps, right? So anybody who's a Sangha Jewel doesn't have a mortal body, right?
No. They do have a mortal body.
Yeah, they do have a mortal body, right? So they have the demon of the heaps, right?
No.
Yeah, now you get tricky, you know, because now we're starting to get questions. We're starting to get doubts, you know. What are you talking about? Then what's the demon of the heaps if it's not a mortal body?
Immortal body, one who has...
Might be. The nice body. Thing about the script, the debate books, they don't tell you.
Immortal body, one who isn't a stream enterer.
Yeah, you could say that, but they're still going to die. That body's still going to... Or maybe it turns into light at a certain point. Maybe there's a difference that way. Maybe there's some kind of difference that way, you see? Maybe they're on the way, they're on the conveyor belt to become a body of light, so they don't count as having the demon of the heaps body, okay? Maybe that, okay? I propose. Let's see. He throws in another comment, by the way, and I just chopped them out. You don't get the whole context, but for that you have to debate a lot. He says, by the way, it's also not true that if you do have the demon of the heaps, you'd want to get rid of it. That it's a bangja, heya, pa, was it? Heya, no, it's the heya part, praheya. It's not true that it's a praheya, bangja. Okay, wow, sure? You're telling me that if you've got the demon of the heaps is infesting you, it's not something you want to get rid of? Don't say apparently not. You could probably find somebody from another monastery that said the opposite. Why not?
Because
why do you think he said that?
Because it doesn't have to be suffering. Because it could be mana.
No, we're talking about Nyerlengi Pumbo. Nyerlengi Pumbo means the ones you were forced that were forced on you when you were born. Okay? Nyerlengi Pumbo. But he says, a human body which is possessed of the 18 Deonjor, which is what? Spiritual leases and fortunes from the Lam Rim. Come on, this is a precious thing. It's a wonderful thing. You know? You wouldn't want to, for example, commit suicide. Okay? So it's not something to be eliminated, right?
You framed it in the form of double negative, right? It's not true that the stream enterers do not want to get rid of.
Well, it's not true that even if your being is in the clutches of the demon of the heaps, that it's something you'd want to get rid of necessarily.
Right?
So you're going to buy that? Do you buy that? It's not something to get rid of?
Are we allowed to do a tantra?
Say again?
Is this a sutra debate or a tantra debate?
We're coming to the tantra later. We're coming to the tantra. But let's stick to sutra. So, suffering heaps are not something to be abandoned. Because they're the 18, they have the 18 leisures and fortunes from the beautiful Lam Rim books. That's what he's saying. That's what the author of our textbooks just said. Right? Yeah. There's this thing where you don't get rid of the boat until you get over the ocean, you know. Then you must get rid of the boat. Okay.
Is there a contradiction entailed? Because the stream enterers do not want to get rid of the demon of fortunes because the stream enterers, they don't possess them in the first place.
That's true too. Okay, anyway, here we go. Then he says a little bit, you want some detail? You want to sit here for hours? I don't know.
Yes.
And by the way, it's not even true that if something is the demon of the mental afflictions, it's a mental affliction, he says. Just in case you were wondering. You got an idea? We need a chuchen, right? We need a chuchen. We need that example which proves the exception. I'll say it again. He said, by the way, that thing about the demon and mental afflictions, something can be the demon and mental afflictions and not be a mental affliction. And not be, he throws in an adjective that he hopes you don't notice. A manifest mental affliction. Yeah, could be a latent mental affliction. But he goes further. He says, you could be the, in a way, you could be mixed up with mental afflictions and not be mental. Like he's really pushing the envelope.
Anything caused by
that's in one way, but what would be a mental affliction demon but not be mental? Work on that. By the way, I mean, Rinpoche brought us up on these. I mean, we read these. We didn't do the ACI courses, you know. We only read these. So, you know, for anybody who was there for 30 years ago, that's, it's easy. Nyamongi Saban, say Saban, the Bakchan. Bakchan, Nyamongi Bakchan. Yeah? So you're telling me Bakchan's not mental?
Not manifest.
Yeah. Well, A, it's not manifest, but B, it's not mental at all anyway. It's an energy. It's a potential. You see, if you split the whole world into mental, physical, and stuff in between, where does it go? It goes in between. It goes in the demiduches. Okay? It's a power. It's a potential. It's an energy. It's not mental. It's not cognizant. It doesn't perceive anything, you see? It's just an event waiting to happen in a way. Okay? That's a bakchak. So bakchaks stay in your mind, but they're not mind. They stay in your mind, but they're not the mind.
So they're seeds without causes and conditions for ripening.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll debate that later. Then he goes into this long story about how you don't have to be the son of the deity, the child of the deity mental affliction, which just means someone who distracts you. You don't have to be a child of a deity, but you knew that. Okay, here's another bit. Let's talk about a bodhisattva on the third level. Can you think of one? Aryasandha, according to the scripture, you know, by the end of his life. Okay. Sasabhacharya, Kikipabhadu Rakhva Chombata. Did he get rid of the rough form of the demon of the heaps? And then he says, because he destroyed heaps which are impure and which come from karma and kleshas. We can agree to that so far, right? I think. Okay, he got rid of the demon of the heaps because he's gotten rid of any heaps that are a product of karma and kleshas, karmas and mental afflictions. Good? Buy it? He's being careful, he's smart. Let's buy it. Let's see where he goes from there. Takturte. You have to agree to my reason that he has gotten rid of heaps that are caused by karma and mental afflictions because Tekchangi Tolan Namdu Lamla Nepe Sembade, because a bodhisattva who's on the Mahayana path of seeing in the moments after seeing emptiness directly, okay, we call it being in the meditation. And then when you get up and start walking around like an hour later, then we call it namdul. Namdul means at that point when you start to, you're already free of all the problems that seeing emptiness directly eliminates. So you're in a state of liberation in a sense, okay? Because bodhisattvas who have just seen emptiness directly are walking around in the 24 hours after that, right? They have gotten rid of rebirth and death, which are created by karma and mental afflictions, because the Uttara Tantra says, and every single debate I have in here has this same quotation. Okay? I wanted you to see how 10 different people in the last 2,000 years, 1,700 years, have used the same quotation to prove what they want to prove. Okay? And it's not bad. I mean, it gives us insight into the meaning of the quotation. Okay? And then he just quotes that line, those lines. And he says, by the way, moreover, if you're a person who has just reached the first bodhisattva level, because you just got bodhicitta and you just saw emptiness directly, I say you must have gotten rid of the... Are you telling me that they have gotten rid of heaps which are created by karma and kleshas? Are you telling me that from that quotation? I mean, our guy, us, come up to the other guy and say, are you telling me that? The guy already just agreed to our quotation. So he said, do you think the quotation proves that we were trying to prove? Say yeah. Yeah. Okay, dun. Okay. Dake, dun. Dake means, well, you agreed, right? Duna, chan sem jor lam pe te cheng gi tong lam top ma tape che chan sem tong lam pe gyula lenin gi blah, 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 blah. Okay, anyway. Let's talk about a person who's on the path of preparation, which happens just before what? Seeing emptiness directly. Okay, path of preparation. They're on the Mahayana path of preparation, and they've just achieved the path of seeing, right? Just achieved the path of seeing. Are you saying they don't have heaps which are a product of karma and kleshas? Whoa. You can't agree. Because the guy who was on the path of preparation had a body which was created by karma and kleshas. And, gangshik, right? Gangshik means and. Because they have the same, they are the same, the bodily continuum. I mean, 10 minutes later, he's an ayah. So like 10 minutes before, he's got a body that was produced by karma and kleshas. Are you saying that 10 minutes later, he has a different body? What, you know? Then he just leaves you like that, okay? And you have to think about it. And that's what they do, you know? And Rinpoche would do that too, you know? We'd say, but what's the punchline, Rinpoche? And he'd say, you go cook it. You go think about it, you know? One nice thing about the monastic textbooks is sometimes they'll just leave you hanging. They won't give you the, like Americans, people in Rinpoche's classes just get so frustrated. You know, they want, what's the end, you know? Is there a denouement? No, you got to figure it out. Okay, so there you go, you got stuck with that one. But what did you learn from that last statement? He said, they have one and the same bodily stream, continuum. What do you learn from that? What might be an implication of that is that certain parts of the path of preparation happen like within half an hour of seeing emptiness directly. You know what I mean? Like Jorlam Chichok. You know, highest part of the path of preparation. I mean, what he's arguing is that, come on, they're so close. What he's saying, what he's implying is like they're half hour apart, they're 15 minutes apart. You're telling me it's a different kind of body he's got now? But what you learn from that argument, even if you didn't have anybody to tell you that, is that the direct perception of emptiness happens like within half an hour of the highest part of the path of preparation. Okay? Because it's such a big deal that the bodies are the same in that half hour. Okay? All right. We'll do one more and take a break. Dukde yina kori mekya. Dukde yina kori mekya. I need to give you that. Dukden. Dungyal denba yina. Korwa yimbe cha. If something is the truth of suffering, yina, korwa yimbe cha.
It must be samsara?
Yeah. Whoa, cook that one. If something is the truth of suffering, it must be samsara. Are we saying that?
We can't be saying that.
No, we can't, right? Because what?
Because they haven't
right, right. That's a long ways away. That's 490 years away or something, right? At least, you know. Well, at most, maybe. But anyway, Dukden Yinakorin Bekyap. What do you guys say? This is the Kachigma. Kachigma means what? One mouth. Which always means the other guy. The guy who's saying the wrong thing. I mean, luckily they identify who's saying the first thing, right? So if you're like this 13-year-old kid in the monastery, you know it's wrong already, but you just got to figure out why. He says, the guy who's always wrong says, if something is the truth of suffering, it must be samsara. Any biters? Brian? All you have to do is find a mi tincho. You have to find an example that doesn't fit that. Okay, an emanation appearing to a samsaric being. Is it dunya dhamma? Is it truth of suffering?
No.
We need something which is the truth of suffering, but is not samsara.
But if it's appearing to that being, right, it would have to be in samsara.
For whom?
Yeah, right.
who's the truth of suffering? The guy seeing the emanation is the truth of suffering, then.
The Buddha, from the Buddha's point of view, the emanating Buddha is seeing themselves in samsara.
In samsara, but they're not the truth of suffering.
Well, then they would have to be the truth of suffering if that was correct.
Oh, no, he said the opposite. If it's the truth of suffering, it has to be samsara. Which basically, if anything has been screwed up, it has to be the truth. It has to be samsara.
From whose side again?
Well, let's go on. Madhabi nuki jigden chuchen. Madhabi nuki jigden chuchen. Let's consider the impure vessel of the world. This world that we live in. Okay. That's his counterexample. Okay. You gave the example of a deity emanating as a normal being. He gives the example of the world we live in. The suffering world we live in. So what's the guy going to come back with now, the opponent? He's going to say, are you telling me it's the truth of suffering?
Yeah.
Are you telling me it's not samsara? Our guy, our boy, came and said, take the world, suffering world, impure world. Which means he thinks it's what? Truth of suffering, but not samsara. Well, let's keep going. Korayamata. I guess it's samsara, right? And the guy says, why did you say that? It's the truth of suffering. Okay. I like this one. I remember this one. I busted my head on this in Sarah. Because, the guy says, we say, it has to be the truth of suffering because Kundu, Samuchaya, I don't know which one, says, Dunyagi Demba Kangshe, now what is the truth of suffering? Semchen Kewa Dankiwi Neki Kyang Rikpa Jao. Either one, suffering sentient beings or the world they live in. Shesumbeche. Okay? So the impure world around us has to be the truth of suffering because that book said so. That ancient Indian book said so. Okay? Then the guy says, okay, I'll go along with it. This world is samsara. He says, do not koro mayim batha. When you go up, what's it mean? Koro mayim batha? No, this is the non-sarcastic one. When you go down, koro mayim batha. You telling me it's not korwa? Telling me it's not samsara? But when you go up, koro mayim batha means what? No, it's not suffering. No, it's not samsara. Okay? How is the tone of your voice indicated in the scripture? Like when you do chanting and they have chanting notation, there are these beautiful wavy things. They look like waves. They go, oh, and they draw this line like that, you know. But there's no line like that here. How do you know his voice is going up? You just have to figure it out from the context. Sorry. No. If what he says is true from what you figure out later, he must have gone up. Okay? Sorry. Mayimba ta ledan nyomombe wangi kamdu korwe neyimbeche. Because it ain't korwa, it's the place where you korwa. Due to karma and clay. Okay? It ain't korwa, it's the place where you korwa. It's not the cycle, it's the place where you circle. Okay? I don't know. Let's see where he's going to go from there. By the way, you don't have to buy them right away. You have to question them. That's why they write them as debates. And sometimes they'll wrap it up wrong and see if you can catch them. Okay? Then you have to be really careful. What's that? Seven-timer. Chuchen means, let's talk about a seven-timer. Take a seven-timer, okay? We can do all this in Tibetan when we start the university, and we'll be debating. I'm thinking English, Sanskrit, and Tibetan. We'll debate. Different groups, of course. Or maybe all the same. Anyway. Korwa imba pa. Are you telling me he's... No, he said korwa yin. Are you telling me he is samsara? Right? Why? If I'm the debater, you're the good guy, I'm the bad guy. You said to me, Korayimbata, you telling me a seven-timer is samsara? I said, teacher, why'd you say that?
Because you just said that truth is suffering, if it's the truth of suffering,
right.
It would be samsara. And we
right.
Said
that the Lendambawa is the truth of suffering. He is the truth of suffering. Okay, so I'll go over it again. You opponent said that if something is the truth of suffering, it has to be samsara. So let's take that seven-timer. Are you telling me he's samsara? Why'd you say that? I didn't say that. But he's the truth of suffering, isn't he? That's how far we are right now. The guy's got to say what?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the truth of suffering. Of course he's the truth of suffering. Le nyun ki wang ki korwe nesu rang wang me par kya walembe semjen yin bechir. Here's a tough one. Because he is a sentient being who is taking birth in the place called samsara, helplessly, due to his or her karma inclinations. That okay? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We got problems here. We got inconsistencies between the texts. Now this guy's saying he has to be the truth of suffering because he's going to take more births in samsara due to the power of his karma inclinations. Okay, and this is a good textbook writer. Who is this? Let me just check. Oh, this is ours. Okay, this is Sarah May. Okay. Now, don't forget that he said that. Keep that Semla Jakshu. Keep that note in mind. Okay, he said this guy helplessly has to take birth through karma and kleshas. We just heard Maitreya saying what? He takes place through what? Two things. Manlang. Oh. Yeah, Nyingje and Munlam, compassion and prayer. Prayer, you know, may I be born in a land full of, like they call Lalo Lumba, means barbarian land, like America. Okay, dharmically. Then he says, Duna. Oh, then the other guy breaks down. He says, okay, he's samsara. I said he had to be, right? Because he's the truth of suffering. He is samsara. Koramayimbata, korwa po yimbetir. Koramayimbata, korwa po yimbetir. Now he's not samsara, he's korwa po. Which means what?
Samsara being.
Yeah, he's the one who's in samsara. He's the samsara-er. Samsarist? Okay? He's not samsara. He's not samsara. So far, what do you got? The world can't be samsara because it's what? It's the place where you're samsara. The guy who's in samsara can't be samsara. He's a samsara-er. So what's samsara? His last closing statement, okay? And then we'll take a break. Nachi korwa mayembe dupche nipo de tete. My last two proofs were fine, even though a little weird. Kanki korna. When you talk about why somebody's cycling, it's because of karma and kleshas. If you talk about who's suffering, cycling, it's a sentient being who's cycling due to their karma and kleshas. If you talk about where they're cycling, or here's a very important thing, where they're cycling or what they're chained to. Okay, that's nice. If you're talking about where they're cycling or what they're chained to, and that's going to be useful later, okay? It's a nirlingi pumbo. It's your body and your mind that you took on when you were born. That's where they're chained to. Nekangdukona. And where is this all this cycling taking place? In the world, the impure world. Kor she jugupe. So she jugupe. If you're going to be precise, you've got to talk about it that way. But none of these is samsara, is it? The place, the person, okay, the thing they're chained to, that none of that is samsara. What is samsara then? He doesn't tell you. He closes it. Like that. He leaves it. He says, don't you guys, can't you guys distinguish between subjects and objects? Don't you have the korsum correct? Tessie loves that, children. She loves korsum. What are korsum? Three spheres, meaning the person who's cycling in samsara.
The cycling itself.
Yeah.
And what it produces.
And or the place where they're cycling. Okay. So which one is samsara? Which one is the real cycle? Just get it straight. Get it straight. People think, you know, they say, oh, New York is samsara. You know, people say, I have to go on vacation because I don't like samsara, you know. People say that. People say, I got cancer. My cancer is samsara. What is samsara? It's the condition. Okay? Leda nyomongi wangi korona korwe cha. Cha means the condition. The fact of it is samsara. Okay? It's very subtle, and you got to cook it. You got to cook it. The implication is we are not living in samsara. And it's not that we are samsara. It's that the condition of being here is samsara. What's the tantric implication? No, you could change it. You could change it. The place ain't samsara. You're not samsara. It's the condition of being here that's samsara. Okay? It's the condition of having to be here through mental afflictions and karma that's samsara. But in and of itself, this isn't samsara. And you're not samsaric being. The fact that you're still here is samsara. That's very tantric, okay? You gotta cook that. Like he's not writing a tantric book, but he threw that in. Okay? Okay. I'd like to go on. I mean, I'm not really doing the whole ACI courses with you this way, although they were all based on these scriptures. But you start to get a feel that if you were in a debate ground, and if you debated this stuff for an hour, then you'd know this stuff backwards and forwards. You know, you go to Tucson, teach somebody at the Muse, what's it, Arts Center or something like that. I hate to call it the YMCA, it sounds cheap. But anyway, it's pretty cheap. But anyway, you really know your stuff by the end. You really know your stuff. You really, really grasp it, you know. And there are modern scholars who say all those monastic textbooks, they're just silly. They're just splitting hairs, you know. But really, if you have kelwa, if you have virtue core in you, they're like deities have written these things, you know. Like you could spend your whole life looking at these things and listening to the debate go back and forth. And by the time you're done, like you get everything. You get everything because they've ripped it apart. From every angle, you know. It's a very nice way to learn. I think debate is really nice. The prisoners really love it. It also gives you a chance to act a little crazy and still learn something, you know. So it's a very useful thing. We'll take a break. Ready? Okay, we'll start. I'm going to skip one. It's a debate about truth of suffering and Aryas and... You had most of it already. This is a really interesting one that I wanted to go through sort of carefully. It's another place. There are two places where Jetsun Kapa himself uses this quotation. So I thought you might like to hear that. And it happens to be from a secret text. But I'm just going to do a little piece, so it doesn't matter. Kirim tar chinzin zorim sewengi par toba shiki tse de la chupasam kanrin che gyu machuna. Let's suppose somebody has completed their Kirin practice, okay? And in their Dzogchen practice, they've got up to Senwen, which is a certain part of higher tantric practice. Se de la chepa sum karun che gyu ma chung. They didn't do the three activities, which we'll talk about later. Chiwe Dusu, but at the moment of their death, Chiwe Usel Dundambi Dambangundu Cha, they are able to link into the clear light of death, which is ultimate reality. They're able to link into that. He doesn't say directly necessarily, but anyway. Shivetar, then when they die, at the end of the death process, Gyumekur Dangwar Chao, they should think to themselves, I want to enter an angel's body. I want to enter an angel's body. Okay. Pembatang. Pembatang means what? Make that resolution. It's like decide that that's what you want to be. Then she. What? Then die. Okay? Shina. Okay? If you do that, says Jetsun Kapa. This is all secret stuff, but it's okay. Chiwe Rimba Namuza to Jube Rimba Chene. Chiwaza to Chara Gyurun. Then you will go through the various stages of death. You will enter the clear light of death. And then, De Tu Shinla Bada Dupe Tse. Then, in the next few minutes, in the time that other people would be entering Bardo, like the scary place between death and rebirth, right? Bardo. De Dula, instead of that, Dula means as a replacement for that. Okay? De Dula, Gilu Drup, you will get your rainbow body. You'll get your angel's body. Okay? And I've only brought this quotation up because I want you to be really, really clear that if you can see emptiness directly, it's intimately and automatically and can even be suddenly related to becoming an angel. You see? Reaching an angel's body. He's talking about higher level of an Arya. Okay? And later on, Jetsun Kapa says, look, well, I'll give it to you. Then he discusses how that takes place, and he quotes from a scripture called the activities or something like that. It's a tantric scripture. Somebody asks a question, you know, is it possible, instead of entering the bardo, to become Vajradhara, you know, or Vajrapani, to enter that body? And then he gives a long explanation of why that is possible and why it will happen. And this is Vajradhara talking to an unknown questioner, okay, in this tantra. Then he says, Gyulu Tobna, if you are able then to attain the angel's body, the body of light, Ngepa Tsang Gyawar Sung, it's been stated that Tse Dela, in that same life, you'll become a Buddha. So like you can't get the miracle body, the rainbow body, and not become a Buddha in the same life. So he's telling you, if you want to get to the rainbow body, especially during the death process, you must see emptiness directly. Like you have to try really hard to see what they call the clear light of death and transform that into a direct perception of emptiness. Okay, and then you can get the rainbow body. And then if you get that, you just become a deity. In that, you become a Buddha in that same life. Di gyulu ma tobla wazel ngunsum di togna gyulamale. But let's say you don't manage to achieve rainbow body, but you do manage to perceive emptiness directly, clear light directly. Well then, as the Uttara Tantra says, Pape Chi Dan Gao Dan Nawe Dung Yao Tse Ne Pang. Okay, and then he goes through that quotation, same quotation. Le Dan Nyoma Wangi Ke De La De Me Che De Me Che. Where did that go? Che Te Chen Papa Namgi Legi Wangi Chiwa Pang Bar Sung. It is stated in the Uttara Tantra that Mahayana Aryas have eliminated having to die through karma and kleshas. Okay? Karma and mental afflictions. Dear Le Wang Ki, Chiwa Ma Pangshin, Yoche Ma Tsangwe, Deta Che Par Sumbe, Gilu Ma Tope Soso Ke Wino. Then he goes through an interesting explanation of why, if you can see directly emptiness and have bodhicitta, then by the way, you avoid all these other problems, like never having enough money or stuff like that. Okay? Deshiwe Oktu Gilu Topade Topadu. Let's see if there's anything else here. Oh, and then he says the main point I wanted you to get that was this whole process about getting an angel body doesn't work unless you can see emptiness directly just before that. And anybody who says different is wrong. Okay, so he's like saying you gotta, to activate the angel body, you have to see emptiness directly before that. And this particular section, which is from one of his commentaries on Tantra in general, he's saying that if you want to get the at death, you want to get the miracle body, rainbow body, you have to try to practice. And this is a practice found in the Vajrayogini, that, you know, Chivachuku Lamkhya, okay? Okay. I thought I'd throw in another, the other place where Jetsun Kapa uses this quotation is from his commentary on Guhya Samaja, which is in the Kagyu tradition, where the Mahamudra comes from, and then leads into a lot of, like, what we're studying in the other class, Samanandan, okay? Yang Rinpoche Tobne, if you can achieve the fourth level, Nawasum Nambar Dapar Sung, you'll experience the three visions, Chuni Ngunsa Dopa Yin, and you will see emptiness directly. Because the Gyulama says, because the Uttara Tantra says, and then he quotes the same quotation. Then he says, I like this one, and this is, I think, on your homework somewhere. As the Uttara Tantra says, Che Parchengi Techen Pakpe Kyang Le Wangi Chiwa Pambar Sungna, if it's true, as Lord Maitreya says, that people in the open teachings who see emptiness directly can get out of dying through karma and kleshas, well, ngaki techen pape de bamba tachi mu means, needless to say, if you're practicing tantra, then be no problem, would it? You know, if you saw emptiness directly and had bodhicitta and were practicing tantra on top of that, well, just forget it, you know? And now he just leaves it like that. Okay, that's... I like that quotation. Anyway. Then there are a lot of more... I'm going to have, in the reading, a lot more quotations about how it is that Aryas can have to take birth again. Let me see if I can find one. Here's a writer, and it's... again, it's from our monastery. Changpad nam nyingje da munlam ki wang ki jitar du du su ke. Somebody says to him, there's an argument. If these people who see emptiness directly have to take seven more lifetimes, then what makes them do it? You see? What is there that makes them do that? And there's a debate about it. And he says, I'll give you two choices. You know, the other guy. The other guy seems to want to say they must have some kind of kleshas. They got to have some kind of mental afflictions. Otherwise, they wouldn't take birth. You know? So that's where we're coming from. Somebody's saying, during those seven lifetimes, they must have some kind of mental afflictions that are making them take birth. You don't take birth by accident. You know? It's not like you just take birth because of the, what do you call it, the momentum you're on from billions of past lives. I mean, after you've seen the emptiness directly, why do you still have to take birth? And our guy gives the other guy two choices. He says, the other guy was sort of implying you need to have a mental affliction, right? He says, Champa nam ningje da munlangi wang ki jita du 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 kemi nipa. Du du means any way, any old way they want. Du du. Okay? He says, okay, so you're saying that these bodhisattva aryas, they can't just take any kind of birth they want through their compassion and their prayer, munlam, right? Okay? Are you telling me that? Is that what you mean to say? And that somehow there's some kind of mental affliction making them do it, right? Okay, that's first choice. Okay? They can't do it by compassion and munlam. There must be some kind of mental affliction at work. That's the first choice I'll give you. Because the other guy said what? There must be some mental affliction involved there. Okay? Then he says, I'll give you another choice. Wente means, I'll give you another choice. Nyomo mi shekyang. Whether or not you agree that this is a mental affliction, Chiport said, at the time when you go into crossing the borderland between death and rebirth, okay? It's called Chiport say, Dakche Doki Jikbe, everyone has this fear of losing their whole being, okay? Like the thing that makes you fight when somebody grabs you on a roof and pushes you, you know, or someone goes like that, and that automatic fear, it's what almost like Abhinivesha described in the Yoga Sutra, sometimes that way. Jikpe sakche ki pumbala sepe sepa. Then you get some horrible attachment to this body. And then that throws you into another rebirth. You know, if you have that fear at the last moment, and you're like afraid that if you lose this body, you will disappear. I will disappear. Then that kind of fear is called sepa, gyepa sepa in the wheel of life, attachment. And then that throws you into the next rebirth. So he says, which way you want it? Which way you want it? Okay, he's debating this other guy. He says, which way was it? What was the first choice again? They got some kind of mental affliction, even though, and they can't take rebirth the way they want, through compassion and prayer. Second choice? Whether or not they have a mental affliction, but they have this fear. And that's what throws them into the next rebirth. So, I mean, what we're debating here is like, we're already assuming you saw emptiness. What do you do next? How can you cut those seven rebirths short? Okay, like we just went through the tantric explanation, right? But now we have this question. This is essential. Suppose you do see emptiness directly. You still want to spend seven more lifetimes? You know? Maybe you could identify what's throwing you into a rebirth even after you see emptiness. And he says, so here's a debate. And he says, well, there's two choices. Either you can't take a rebirth where you want, or whether you call it a mental affliction, and some mental affliction's throwing you, or whether you call it a mental affliction or not, you've got some kind of fear about me. And that throws you into your next, okay? Which way do you want it? The guy might pick the second way. Why?
Because
it gets out of a problem. It gets out of a problem. What? That these bodhisattva aryas who have to take life seven more times, and he doesn't want to admit that they might be able to do through simply through their own compassion. And by the way, the compassion thing is a little. Even to me, I don't know if I buy it. Why? Well, that, and we know he has to take seven more births. We know he's not a Drachomba. He's not an Arhat, right? He's not an Arhat. I mean, if you could just see emptiness directly and then immediately take any birth you want, it sounds like an Arhat to me. It sounds like a person who's like years and years beyond seeing emptiness directly. So what's the difference? I mean, why do you have to go through the whole path of habituation? Where's that 500 years? Where did it go? If the guy can just take birth anywhere he wants, then where'd that 500 years go? You know? I mean, I don't know if I'd buy it, okay? So anyway, he says, then our guy doesn't give the other guy a chance to answer anyway. He says, either way it's wrong, because either way, it would contradict statements that these Arya Bodhisattvas have destroyed any being forced to do things through kleshas. So what our guy is saying is, look, whether you call that fear a klesha or not, I call it a klesha. It's a mental affliction. Okay? Detana shenden gyachen botasho. And if your description was right, you know, if a bodhisattva, Arya, had to take rebirth through any kind of mental afflictions, shenden gyachen botasho means forget the idea that he's helping others in a big way. Rangdanyan dupashin madupecha. He can't even do what he wants to do for himself. You know? He can't even do what he wants to do. What are you talking about? Bodhisattva who's acting for all living beings? They can't even keep their own rear end out of samsara, out of some more births. Okay? Now you got to debate that, right? These are all like, they're not all quite matching each other. They're all giving a different angle. I think if you spend like a week or two reading it, you could probably reconcile them all, but I'm not sure. I'm going to skip the next one. This is a good one. This is by Sarah Jetson. Sarah Jetson is the author of the textbook series from the Lower College of Sarah. I'm just kidding. Sarah J. Okay. And he was the teacher of the author of our textbooks, Kedup Dembadage. And there's a tradition that according to us, Kedup Dembadage outgrew his teacher, which is almost sort of a little touchy subject, right? And according to the Sarah Jepas, Kedup Dembadage was sort of a maverick who just kind of wandered away from the party line. Which seems to typify Sarame lamas. by tradition. But anyway, however way you see it, Kachik, Chansen Papa Koa Kiwa Limbe Gyur. Somebody says, look, there is a mental affliction that arises in the mind of a Bodhisattva Arya, which makes them take rebirth in samsara. There is a mental affliction. Now, that's a kachik, which means what? The other guy, which means we? We don't buy it, okay?
So this is the koan.
Yeah, it's like the koan, or the koam. Okay. Len yungi wangi kua kiri lembi chansen papa yotha. Oh, so you're telling me there's a Bodhisattva Arya who is forced to take rebirth out of karma and mental afflictions, right? Sena? Yabata. He says, teacher, I didn't say that. Damcha Tepitir. But you started out with what you started out with. You said there's a mental affliction which makes him take rebirth, right? And he says, yeah. So he's taking rebirth because he's forced through mental afflictions, right? He says, no. Okay. Dimi dute. You can't agree that he's forced to take a rebirth through karma and mental afflictions because this book says something else. Which book? Uttara Tantra. Then he throws in this quotation again. I just want you to get the feeling that this quotation has probably been used more than any other quotation from the Uttara Tantra. Because it's so vital. It's so important. Suppose I do see emptiness directly. Well, what's my status? How is it that I get an angel's body? How long will it really take? Okay. Does tantric practice help? And then the Argai figure that that's enough. He doesn't go on. You know? That's enough. But then he throws in another debate. Konare, which means kachik. Chansen papa koroke rolembe gyurgyupi nyomong chen yurba ta. There is too a mental affliction that makes the guy take birth again. Because he's got a nyundip. Nyundip is what? Dipa is an obstacle, okay? Dipa. Like we have the capacity to see every living being in the universe. You have the capacity to read my mind at any given time. You know? Whether you are now, I don't know. But everyone has that capacity in this room. And then there's this sort of block. There's a wall. If you break through that wall, you can do all those things. Like, in principle, you can perceive everything happening in the universe. In principle, anybody in this room, if you saw emptiness directly today, on a bodhisattva path, you would see every living creature in the universe. In 1 minute. In 1 minute. But there's some kind of block. You see, there's some kind of wall. If you can break it down, that's called shedip. Okay? Shedip means, sheje dipa means, it blocks you from the ability to know all things at the same time. Okay? As opposed to a nyundrip, which is a nyomong dipa, which is what? Mental affliction obstacle, which only prevents you from what? Achieving nirvana. Okay? So mental affliction obstacle just means something that keeps you from achieving nirvana where you don't have to take rebirth again at all, for example. And shidip is what prevents you from reaching omniscience. Omniscience. Okay? Okay, so now that you know that, this guy says, there is a mental affliction in the guy's mind that makes him take one of those seven births, right? Because he's got a mental affliction obstacle. We say, no, he doesn't. And he says, yeah, he does, because he has a omniscience obstacle. Right. Kabamachu. Say, Kabamachu. Doesn't follow. Doesn't necessarily follow. You can have an obstacle to your omniscience, but have gotten over your obstacles to nirvana. Right? I mean, we know that, but he makes a slip, luckily. Madhubna derata, derigapi mariki bachaki sayabechur. And then the other guy says, he does too have an omniscience obstacle. And then he says something very powerful. Because he's still at the level where he has the seed for ignorance. He's still at the level where he has the seed for ignorance. Is that a mental affliction? No, we talked about it before today. It's an energy. It's an energy, it's not mental, okay? Anyway, but the other guy is saying that's a the seed for ignorance is an obstacle to omniscience and not to becoming an arhat. Is that true? The question is, do you get rid of your seeds for your ignorance when you become an arhat?
No, because you're on a mission.
That's touchy. What kind of ignorance are we talking about? The one that sees that things are self-existent, you get over. That's the last thing you get over, right? And the seeds for it. Or do you get rid of the seeds for it? What do you do between the 8th and 10th bodhisattva levels? Long story. Okay, anyway. He seems to be saying that this seed represents the thing that blocks you from reaching Buddhahood. Omniscience obstacle. Okay, the seed, not the ignorance itself. Ignorance itself is already gone. Okay. Then chance papa ko akewa lembe gyo gyo bi nyomong yu. Then nyomong gyo wangi ko akewa milen. Therefore, he says, according to me, this guy has a mental affliction that's going to make him take birth again. But he's not taking birth to the power of mental afflictions. It supports me. Okay? And then, anyway, the bottom line is that the author from Sarah J. says that, what if we treat the energies in that Bodhisattva Arya's mind as obstacles to omniscience? The energies for ignorance, the seeds for ignorance in that Bodhisattva's mind, what if we treat them as obstacles to omniscience? Okay? Would they still take birth? Rebirth. He's trying to say, let's classify them as something that's not mental affliction, but that still make them take birth. Does that help us with our problems today? What's the Uttara Tantra say? He's not going to take birth again because they don't have it, so they don't have it. Meaning what? They don't have mental afflictions and karma, so they're not going to take rebirth. Now, Sarah J. Guy is saying, what if we classify those seeds that make him take birth again as not mental affliction obstacles, but omniscience obstacles? Then is he still taking rebirth? Yeah. Because we know he has to be because he's a seven-timer. He's a seven-timer. And then can we say he doesn't have mental afflictions?
Yes.
Yeah. We got out of it. That's a Sarah J, okay? Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. You got to chew on it. But you get the point. He's saying Uttara Tantra is right. Seven lifer is right. Taking rebirth is right. Being truth of suffering is right. Not being samsara is right. Not being forced by karma and kleshas to take rebirth is right. But having to take rebirth is right. Through something mental affliction sort of thing, which means the obstacle to omniscience. Which is the seeds of the ignorance. Okay, so now you see how different authors over hundreds of years are shooting guns at each. You know, they're like, "How about if we do it this way? Does that? What do you call it?
Reconcile
all these ideas." Okay, so think about it. Think about it. I think it's just a classification trick. Anyway, but not necessarily wrong. I don't know. And there's a couple more from Sarah J, but we don't need those. Just kidding. Here's a little thing I threw in towards the end. I think this is maybe the last thing. Let me check. Yeah, this is the last thing. I just threw this in at the end for fun, okay? This is from a Lam Rim text. It's a commentary to a Lam Rim that was written by the first Panchen Lama, whose name is Losan Chukyi Gyaltsen. And people confuse him with Sarah Jetson Chukyi Gyaltsen, who's the textbook author from Sarah J. So if people say Chukyi Gyaltsen, you have to say, which Chukyi Gyaltsen? And you say Sarah Jetson Chukyi Gyaltsen. Oh, the Sarah textbook writer. Or they say Panchen Losan Chukyi Gyaltsen. And then it means the Panchen Lama. But anyway, we're talking about Panchen Lama. He wrote a Lam Rim called the Easy Way. The easy path. Okay. Delam. I don't know if it's been translated yet. Anybody know? If it hasn't been, I think it'd be cool to do it for the first year of the Tantric series. Because I have a connect. I like Panchen Losan Chukyi Gyaltsen. He was a great writer and a great poet. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's translated. It's not very long, and it'd be a great Lam Rim for us to do as the first year of the Tantric series. So we'll either do that or the fifth Dalai Lama's. I don't know. Whatever is available by then, or, you know, whichever. This one is kind of, to me, I have a connection with it. Anyway, he says, He says, really, if you think about it, people shouldn't get stuck in middle capacity, middle level capacity. Meaning what?
Wanting to abandon cyclic existence and one's suffering.
Yeah. Okay. Out of, you know,
nirvana.
Little capacity, medium capacity, big capacity, lamrim, right? They call it greater scope, lesser scope, medium scope. Okay, something fancy like that. Rangdenso dundunyewa namki nangne. Of all the people in history who are watching out for their own rear end. Okay, something like that. Nangne, chokshu, the best. The very best were nyenchu choksun. Nyenchu choksun means, who is that? I think it's Shariputra and Modgalkipu. Modgalyayana, these two great disciples of Lord Buddha. They were great disciples in which turning of the wheel?
The second.
Could be.
Heart Sutra.
Yeah. I guess you could say the Heart Sutra. Yeah, you could say that. But anyway, they're known for having been there at the first one mostly. And they're known as having been Theravadan. Hmm. Those two guys. Yeah. They're known, I think it's those two. I don't think it's Ananda. I think it's Mogalkipu and Shariputra. Anyway, they're known as being Theravadan usually. He says the best of the people who weren't bodhisattvas yet had to be those two. Okay? Daksha Yinla. Dedakyang Shendin Tasho Randin Samyang Mazopate. They spent their whole lives trying to achieve their own goals. And not only did they not help to achieve others' goals, they didn't get their own. Okay? Like he's putting them down. Okay, in this lamrim. Why? Choksungi nyawe nenam la sikpe tse. They had an opportunity to view the hell realms. Mutokpe tumba zokche ki rangi loba nam la chinkur watera la sumbe tse. There was some kind of controversy involving a non-Buddhist teacher and some letter he wrote to his disciples or something. Anyway. Ding echa ki tumba la kurwa tapo she maga kipu la dungte. As a result of this conversation, Modgalyayana got punched. Okay? Chaksha tamche dambar tar chomni chomwa yinla. And he tied up his feet and legs. He crushed his feet and arms. He crushed his arms and legs like you would a house of reeds. Remember that? And he died. Mogalkipu died. Whereas, if he had been a bodhisattva, and if he had seen the emptiness directly, he never would have had any of these problems. Okay? Because people who have seen emptiness directly and who are bodhisattvas just don't get these problems. Because, Uttara Tantra says, alright? So now you see how this quotation is being used by many, many different people. And it's, you know, it's just a short class, not really, but I just want you to get the feeling for how Arya Sangha has infiltrated all of Tibetan Buddhism. You see, from tantric angle, from lamrim angle, from perfection of wisdom angle, almost anything you read has Uttara Tantra in it, whether you know it or not. So here he's using it for a different reason. He's using the quotation for a different reason. Then he says, Dena shenyen kepe tepa chenpo chigute. Therefore, if you're going to be a good teacher for other people, get them right into talking about emptiness and karma. Okay? Get them right into talking about emptiness. If you're going to not waste people's time, get them right into emptiness and karma. I like that. And then he quotes Potowa, who's a famous Kadampa, who said the same thing. Okay? Says, don't waste people's time. Don't fool around. Don't monkey around. Get them straight into karma and emptiness. Get them to Bodhisattva Arya. Right? So that's all I'm going to do on that. I think especially it'd be nice for you to review the statements about tantric, the tantric part, and how you can use clear light to achieve the same thing that on a tantric level, tantric path, that someone using the ACI courses would on a sutra the courses so far on a sutra path. Okay, so really, the 18 courses that are coming up next fall are for getting to the second kind of Arya. Okay, who can use tantric practices to shorten the time, okay, to get to the same thing. Okay, we'll stop there.